Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Your lies are so pathetic. I ran a charity 15K to raise awareness for it.
Howard Simon.
Good morning, Howie. How are you, Mike?
Okay, see, you already blew the interview. Nobody calls me that around here. Nobody knows that's what I'm referred to.
Jeremy White.
You're the pilot and he's the co-pilot, so I'm just trying to give him some love.
There you go. Yeah.
And make him feel good.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, we are steaming through the week. It's practically time for training camp. It is Wednesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. We get to play What Do You Think He Really Meant today with some of Sean McDermott's comments yesterday. That's one of our favorite games to play on this. This is your old buddy Brad Ryder. We need like the truth detector. Is it near like the snark cannon in the closet here or no?
Yeah.
Right? Didn't Brad have the truth detector?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna need to break it out for this one. Okay, so First off, go ahead.
Before we get to that, I have another game we could play.
Yeah.
And I think you have been playing it. This game is called, So You Say You Want to Do What We Do, right? And what I mean by that is, like, you want to talk about the Bills every day and do this. How many interviews have you done this week about heartbreak?
Yeah, not as many as yours. I'll be honest with you. And I always, it's very rare for me to turn down a radio request. We do it for a living with other people. So I always feel like you should always go on a station somewhere to talk about.
It's the code. Like,
yes,
sure, I
absolutely.
Can come on for 10 minutes and
absolutely.
You'll come on for 10 minutes some other time. Yeah.
Right. Unless it's like, you know, I'm on vacation, which I am every other week. Nap time, you know, whatever. But I will always do that stuff. Not as many as you. I really haven't. But I will tell you this. It's funny. I got an email. I don't even know who it's from, whatever station it is. But I got an email yesterday. And, you know, I could see it's from, I don't know, wherever 105.7 is. Point being, like, I haven't responded yet. I really don't want to talk about this with other people anymore. And I did. I thought about it's, here we go. So I got an email from Stone Feltz.
Yeah, I got the same one.
Good, then you do it. 105.7, the fan radio appearance. I didn't even open the email because I just want to be done with these. I don't want
now,
to do it.
Real quick here. So that's I've done San Diego, Ottawa. I think I did like Oklahoma, maybe.
Dan Oklahoma?
Wetzel. Maybe that was a pregame. I don't remember. Well, okay. I mean, Oklahoma's Kansas City fans.
Oh,
you know?
yeah, right. Okay, gotcha.
105.7. It's in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I got the same email. That's Jerry Coleman that they want us to go on with, and that's the guy that was a major jerk to Bills fans.
Oh, I was wondering if that...
and a major jerk to Del Reed.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do it.
Screw me
that.
Neither.
Screw that. I mean,
honestly,
I didn't realize that. I just opened the email and I saw, you know, fan in Baltimore, Jerry Coleman, blah, blah, blah. And my first thought was that the guy or was it somebody else? If that's the guy, yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to, you know, I'll respond. Hey, I can't help you.
Yeah. Like,
I don't want to not respond.
We always do those.
Yes. It's the right thing to do. We help each other out.
He called Buffalo a city of losers.
Screw that.
And all that, and then Bills fans donated a lot to his mother's cause, and like, you know, but my first thought was like, yeah, that's that guy. Should I do that?
Okay.
No, I don't have to do that.
All right, hold on a second, Stone. Anyway. Unfortunately, I won't.
So here
be
you go.
Able to help you guys out,
Bills Mafia and Dell and everybody. We'll go on and talk about it and talk about what it's like, but not to them.
No,
not to them.
No, I mean, that's...
Why did
that's,
he call Buffalo a city of losers anyway? I don't even remember why. It would have been before this.
Yeah.
I mean, am I going to go on? He's going to talk about how the city of losers is handling it?
Yeah, that's different. I didn't realize because I didn't open the email till today. But yeah, I'll go on with just about anybody. But if you know, if you've been a jerk to the Bills, the city, like I'm not gonna talk to you. Like some of the people in, you know, New England. But yeah, okay, thanks for pointing that out. But I did see that, and I thought I really don't want to do anymore. I just thought, you know, I get it. We're all doing the same job. We're all looking for guests. We're trying to, you know, do all this content and fill time on sports talk shows. And then I thought, huh. Well, think this through. Let's see. One of the most heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, rip-your-heart-out losses ever in the history for a Buffalo sports team. Sure, let me talk about it some more with people who are out of town. Like, I have to talk about it here. I get paid to do it. It's my job. I understand that. But, yeah, you know what? Sure, let's go. Name a city. Yeah, absolutely, guys. I'd love to talk more about the final 13 seconds of that game with you. Sure, why not? It's so much – it's fun. It's uplifting. Anyway, it's no. So thank you for pointing it out. That's not even a discussion. I don't feel guilty at all because of who it was.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I always try and help everybody out.
I've talked about these 13 seconds, and you know, like, if you want to really get to it and talk about it, the kick is why the 13 seconds matter.
Yeah,
the 13 seconds were not supposed to be 13 seconds.
Yeah,
like we don't have to pour over this. We don't have to. Imagine there's some Bills fans that want to live in the agony for a little while longer.
Not
and some that want to not think about it. But overnight, you know, sometimes you wake up to a notification. And I got one from Benny, a listener, who pointed out the defensive alignment's what cost them the game, not the kickoff. Like, well, okay. The defensive alignment only existed in the way that it did because the kickoff was was not executed.
Yeah, it's a sequence. I mean, there's a series of things. That's the first thing in the sequence.
It was one
sequence.
Of three plays
right
in the 13 seconds.
Correct.
There were three plays. Four, I guess, the kick, too, to tie it.
Yeah, but I got you right.
Yeah, there's the field goal to tie it. But there are four plays that happen in 13 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs gained yards on two of them and used time. And on the kick, they gained 25 yards and used zero time, 0 seconds.
And as was pointed out during the Zoom call yesterday, and I mean, I forgot to mention, and I'm not sure how much we did bring this up in the discussion, but the Bills also called time defensively.
Yep.
Like, if we're going to sit here and talk about what was the plan, and we don't know, we'll get to, I mean, Sean McDermott didn't say anything that he didn't give you any insight at all, although it's one of those read-between-the-line things, right? I think we're 100% certain the plan was to not kick it out of the end zone.
Right.
I don't know about the defensive coverages. I think that's a more open discussion. But based on what he said, how he said it yesterday, I'm pretty sure either Heath Farwell or Tyler Bass screwed up. They weren't supposed to kick it out of the end zone.
Right.
So I know that for sure. I don't have a real strong feeling on what might have gone wrong defensively, but we should point out, as much we would make fun sometimes, right? Up here comes the Sean McDermott defensive timeout, and he did it twice, and they still, if they screwed up, how do you A, have the initial coverage, call timeout, discuss it, and still do that is beyond me. But the kickoff for sure, almost positive someone messed up there.
And it's a great example of using win percentages and all that, because when I mentioned this to you yesterday, that the Chiefs win percentage when they snapped the ball at the 25-yard line, according to maybe ESPN's model or whichever, who'd done that, was like 4%. You execute the kickoff right, that could have been one.
Yeah.
It could have been 0.5.
Yeah, if you could have taken just a few seconds off.
You could have cut their win percentage in half or cut it by, 90% of what it was. It could have dropped to 1%. Instead, when the Bills kicked it off, it went up from 3.7 to 4.1. So, like, I bet the Bills know that. I bet the Bills, whatever, you know,
they have analytics. Yeah.
Everybody does. And we all only think about it sometimes, or only talk about it, or only yell at each other about it when it comes to fourth down decisions in the third quarter. But here's one where they probably absolutely knew that.
Yeah.
And that's why the call would have gone through the chain of command. And, right, somewhere along the way, Tyler Bass, like, this is my estimation. Nobody told Tyler Bass.
How does that even happen?
How does that happen? All right.
That's go ahead.
Let me think about this for a minute. Tyler Bass is over getting ready to kick an extra point.
Yeah.
He's maybe not right next to everybody on the coverage unit that's going to go out in the event that there's going to be a kickoff, because Tyler Bass does have to do another job, which is kick an extra point. So he's over kicking, staying warm. I don't know. I don't know how special teams operates, right, but right. Tyler Bass might not have been around everybody else when they were talking, because every time I see a kicker on the sidelines, that kicker is by themselves kicking a ball into a net.
Yeah, okay, but I would say, okay, then I'll counter with this. As the Bills are driving, like we always give coaches credit, right? They're always thinking multiple plays ahead. So wouldn't you at some point, I mean, McDermott first off would think, all right, if we score here, what are we doing on the kickoff? Hey, let's hang it inside the 10 or whatever, right? So I would think, rather than at the point where the touchdown is scored and the PAT team is coming out, wouldn't McDermott at some point go, hey, Heath, if we score here,
yes,
here's what we're doing on the kickoff.
I'm not explaining why anybody other than Bass might not have heard it. Of course.
And then Farwell goes to Bass before he goes on the field for the PAT. Tyler, on the kickoff, put it inside the 10.
You would think.
That's got to be communicated. Well, apparently it doesn't have to be, because I don't think it was.
I mean, it's got to be, but apparently
it wasn't.
I mean, I shouldn't say we know this to be truth. But
either could he have miskicked, Jeremy? Could he have not taken enough off a kickoff?
No.
Like, instead of throwing the fastball or throwing the off-speed pitch, he stayed with his fastball for some. I just don't know how that doesn't get communicated.
Went through the end zone, right?
How do you not, even if you didn't tell Bass before the PAT, couldn't somebody run out on the field on the kick unit or something and relay a message? Tell Tyler not to put it through the end zone.
Or wouldn't he ask?
Yeah, what do you want? Right, if you're the kicker.
What's the plan?
It would be human nature to go, what are we doing on the kick? Kick it right, kick it deep, hang it up, end zone, squib it. You would absolutely, as a kicker, have to know what is the strategy on the kickoff. What am I doing? So he would. Let's say he didn't know. Kick the point after, run towards the sideline. What are we doing? I don't know. Apple, you know, whatever the code word is, or a name of a play, or hold up two fingers. What? He'd have to know how to approach the. I cannot. That's why. I just don't understand how that doesn't get communicated or that gets messed up unless he just flat out mishit the ball somehow.
Yeah.
Put more on it than he was supposed to. I have no idea.
I don't think there's any way the ball was mishit.
Well, then I'm not sure how that communication breakdown occurs.
Me either.
Beyond my interpretation.
That's what did happen, which, again, like we're probably doing some reading between the lines, but McDermott not wanting to talk about why it was kicked deep.
Multiple times. Multiple times Sunday night and multiple times again yesterday.
That means flat out, that means it wasn't supposed to be kicked deep. Can we at least all agree to that?
I agree, but that's right. Now let me just first tweet.
If it was supposed to be kicked deep, he would have said we kicked it deep because we figured they had two plays and we didn't make those stops. He would take that play. He would take that decision off the hook, and he doesn't do that.
So he would own it, basically. That was our strategy.
He would at least own that decision. He would at least protect the special teams unit, the kicker, and say, I mean, yeah, we kicked it deep. There's 13 seconds left. I mean, every indication was we would be able to stop them, and we didn't get the job done. He did not do that.
No, in fact, it's kind of we talk a lot about him and how he does not publicly, in media news conferences, right, throw anybody under the bus. He's very good at not doing that. It's kind of a reverse way of throwing someone under the bus. I mean, if you were supposed to kick it deep, right, you would say that was our decision to kick it deep. By not saying that, he is reverse way. He's either somebody, Bass, or somebody is to blame.
Right.
The way he phrased it. Now we got a tweet on this. Bass kicked the ball nearly 7 to 8 yards deep into the end zone. Yep. It's hard to imagine that wasn't the plan all along. Bass has perfected kicking it short of the end zone. I think it was the plan for a touchback. However,
again,
go ahead. Yeah.
No. Just, Bass thought it was the plan. I don't dispute that he did what he thought he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for you to say it landed in the end zone, that had to be the plan. No, that had to be the plan for Bass, but not for the team. I don't know how the team could be any clearer about how it was not the plan. McDermott has had 3 days to say that was our decision, and he won't say that was their decision.
Right. And he talked yesterday. Now, I don't know if I'm trying to recall if this was specifically the kickoff or the entire 13-second sequence, but to your point about the plan to kick it deep, he talked yesterday about how detail-oriented they are, how they practice plays, how they're prepared. When he kept saying it's about our execution, he was also talking about, you know, basically, yeah, we worked through this stuff in practice. This, you know, a scenario like that has not been played out for us in practice. We prepare for those moments. So if that's the case, if he's talking about lack of execution, we're detail-oriented, we practice this stuff, you wouldn't have to practice telling Tyler Bass to kick it through the end zone with 13 seconds left protecting a lead. You would practice the other scenario. You would practice, Tyler, I know you can get a touchback anytime you want. You would practice, pooch it, squib it, whatever you're doing other than the kickoff.
He does it all the time.
Right, and I've done it throughout the course of the season.
Yeah.
So that's why I said,
his job.
To the point about, hard to imagine that wasn't the plan. Yeah, I think when he says execution and says we're detail-oriented, we practice these things, he's talking about what the kick was supposed to be. Because you wouldn't make all those points just for a guy to kick it out of the end zone. I mean, that's not
– right.
How much would you practice? Tyler, we're gonna practice kicking it out of the end zone today. No. So, I mean, I'm 1,000% positive somebody messed up on that. I'm curious. I'm still wondering about the two defensive plays, especially when they called timeout before both. And that, please tell me that wasn't their plan. Did somebody mess up a coverage plan? Was it not communicated? Were they supposed to do something differently on defense? I'm having a hard time wrestling with those two plays because I don't get a feel from McDermott and what he said yesterday about something happening on those two plays. Other than they considered grabbing anybody on the first down play, he said they did talk on the sidelines about possibly an intentional penalty. Of course, they didn't do it.
No, they did not because they weren't close enough to any players
to do it. They were kind of 10, 15, 20, 30 yards off the line of scrimmage. Yeah. So,
well, the thing about it is, the Bills, and I guess you could take a little bit of heart in this, maybe, one way or the other. Everybody on that team knows what happened.
Mm-hmm.
They all know what happened. And they know their season ended because of it. And if there was, whatever, arguments, shouting, heartbreak, anger, disappointment, shame, there's a lot of things that could come out of that. That's something that they all have to, kind of get over and come back and get through.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but relationships can change. Maybe you thought you trusted this coach and now you don't.
Yeah.
Not McDermott, the special teams coach, if it is his fault. Maybe you thought you could trust Tyler Bass, maybe whatever. Tremaine Edmonds said there was a quote I saw from Tremaine Edmonds. Let me pull it up here. Dunn tweeted what Edmonds said about the final plays, and it didn't sound like we didn't execute.
Huh.
Here we go. Tremaine Edmonds' quote on this was, it's just an unfortunate situation that we were in that things didn't go our way. He said, we executed.
Hmm.
So here's Tremaine Edmonds saying, we executed. It's just an unfortunate situation we were in that things didn't go our way.
Okay, so I'm going to hear that and think they were in the wrong coverage. I mean, it was the coach. It was a coaching decision, not some guys on the field not doing what they're supposed to do.
I don't know.
He said,
but
we
that's
executed.
What I mean. Like, you've got your starting middle linebacker. His quote was, we executed.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. I was thinking back. I was trying to remember, Jeremy. I think it was Tampa and the Rams. I think it was Bruce Arians. I'm almost positive. But to the discussion about McDermott, and, we had talked before the Zoom call yesterday, and you asked me, what do you think he's going to say? What do you want to hear? What won't he say? And I'm not surprised at all. I'm sure some fans are angry. They'd like to have an explanation. I'm not surprised he'd left it where he left it Sunday night and exactly the same. Look, and by the way, if you didn't listen back to the full call or catch it live here, he was asked multiple times, repeated questions about the kickoff, about the 13 seconds, all of that. Never wavered. I mean, he basically just kept saying, look, I hope you respect it, but I'm just going to leave it at execution. So he wouldn't really go beyond that at all. So I understand you might be angry. I'm not surprised that's who he is. I wasn't expecting an answer. But it's interesting, the whole concept of what did you want to hear from him yesterday. If I have this right, if my memory's correct, and that's, again, 50-50, I apologize. Someone correct me if I'm referring to the wrong game. The last drive that led to the game-winning field goal for the Rams, there was a big play, maybe to Cup, I'm trying to remember. Anyway, they hit a big play to get in field goal range, and they win the game. I'm pretty sure after the game, Bruce Arians said, was asked about that play, what happened, how did this happen when, you knew what you had to protect. And he said something about how we called a blitz, but not everybody got the message. So you know, again, that's not necessarily saying, well, my linebacker didn't relay this or the safety didn't tell this guy or that. But at least he could have said we didn't execute, which would have been true, by the way. But yep. He said, yeah, we called a certain play. Not everybody knew what we were supposed to do. You know, maybe that happened with the Bills. Now, I don't know that that's asking that much from McDermott if that was the case. Go, yeah, listen, we had certain plays called and just we weren't all on the same page. I don't know. I wasn't really expecting anything.
You know, that happens.
Right.
Of course it does. And, you know, it's one of the reasons that I think football coaches are so, the best ones, are so obsessive about the details. And McDermott is probably one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably an example where he will continue to be, you know, minutia. Why it's so important to have their routines, their practices. You know, they like to talk about, oh, we'll learn from this. And, what he learns, what he takes away from whatever happened to the kick, to the defense, like, it really is. You know, I don't get more heartbroken as it goes, mm-hmm. although I did, like, look at the weather forecast for Sunday. And
oh,
think,
did
like,
you? What
well,
is it? I didn't even look.
That had been a routine lately.
Sure, like, that's right.
And now, like, yeah, it's going to be Sunday. Who cares? Who cares what the weather's like on Sunday? So I did a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And as we get farther and farther away from it, I just think, man, you really had it.
Yeah.
You really had it. And you had to make three really bad plays in order to do it. And the kick is probably the least egregious because it doesn't kill you at all.
Yeah.
But it could have effectively ended the game, the kick. I mean, who knows what Kansas City's plan was. One of the things coming out of Kansas City is that calling those timeouts defensively helped them, give them more time to plan what they were going to do mm-hmm. and talk about what they were going to do.
For sure, last play, right, where Kelsey went up to Mahomes and said, look, they're leaving the seam open.
Right, and they didn't change their look.
Right.
Joe DiBiase was posting screenshots last night. After timeouts, the Bills backed off further.
Mm.
So, you know, like, the Chiefs did not really have a good plan, and the touchback was the first part of allowing them to maybe formulate one that could work. So it's tough. Like, you know, I think Sean McDermott's a hell of a coach. I really do. And I think Bills fans should be relatively glad he's their coach. There's some stuff we'll go over today with fourth downs where I'm even more happy that he's their mm-hmm. head coach. I've got numbers on that that's interesting to me. And as much as, like, you're upset for Bills fans, like, I'd be sick about it for McDermott. I mean, if you're the head coach and you call for – the high kick to the six,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't happen, you are A, furious, and B, how did that happen on my watch?
Mm-hmm. Especially for someone who is extremely detail-oriented. Like and not all coaches are. You might look at it and go, guys, they all are. I feel like Rex Ryan was not a detail-oriented guy. I mean, there are some guys who are run a little bit of a looser ship than others. McDermott, I mean, since day one, right? How many times has Sal told us about McDermott? And we hear the stories about these volumes of books he keeps and notes from everything over the years. Like, this guy plans things out to the nth degree. Yeah, I would think he'd be furious, and learning from it, I guess he'd have to figure out how to make sure, if it ever happens again, that similar situation plays out, how do you prevent whatever breakdown occurred? But yeah, I kind of go back and forth. You know, the other night after the game, to me, the kickoff was bugging me more than anything else. And then when I started looking back at the two defensive plays, I rewound, I went back, I looked at the lineup, where they were, how they lined up, how much cushion they gave them. Honestly, I know if the kickoff goes differently, they probably win the game. They don't get two plays off offensively, whatever.
Or if they play one of those defensive plays better, they win the game too.
Right, and that's why the defensive plays, to me, eventually trump the kick, because the kick might have been a mistake. I just don't know. Defensively, I'm not sure how that coverage and that plan, that just wasn't the best approach to take.
No, for sure. You know what made me the maddest at the defense was seeing one of those next-gen stats dot chart plots where they show the dots running around the field.
Yeah, I see those after touchdowns, right?
Yeah. If they're beautiful plays, touchdowns, well, turns out they have them for those defensive plays too.
Yeah.
And, like, looking at the dots, you're like, what are these dots doing? Like, how come there's
where
only one?
Going?
How come there's only one dot on this side of the field?
This is This is the old, I don't know if you had it, it was in the 70s, the old electronic football game. You'd have the plastic players, and you'd have to set these settings underneath them. You'd hit the the button that makes the field vibrate, and then they're going like, no, you're going in the wrong direction. No, you're supposed to be over here on the other side of the field. Yeah, that would, I didn't see the dots thing. That might just make it even tougher for me. But yeah, I think, I just think the two plays on defense, and then I did a bad thing yesterday. I went back and listened. NFL, somebody tweeted out the mic'd up stuff with Kelce in that sequence. And I shouldn't.
Where you can hear Mahomes yelling,
do it, Kelce. And he's looking over, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have watched this because I knew what happened because I read the story, right? But then to actually watch it back again and listen to the comments and have him go to Mahomes and say, hey, they're not covering this. And he's lined up and he's calling out the signals, do it, Kelce, do it. I'm like, no, don't do it.
Right. And I'm looking at Mario Addison.
It made it worse.
I think Addison's on the end of the line there. Who is it on the end of the line?
I don't remember who was on the end.
Maybe not Addison. Whoever it is. Let me pull up the roster because I'm pretty sure it was. Anyway, I'm looking at the defensive end thinking, you should drop back. Please drop
show
back.
Rush and come back, like, 5-10 yards. Drop back into a zone, right? Just backpedal. Yeah.
I think it was F.A. Obata.
Yeah.
I think it's Obata. So, do it, Kelce, do it. And there's Obata on the end, and they're about to throw the seam like, F.A., help us, please. Just drop back, man.
Lord.
Maybe you can get a hand up and everyone. Yeah.
All right.
It's terrible.
Okay, we got a lot of ground to cover. First thing we'll do is we'll get a break, then we'll get some calls. 803-0550. Yes, we're talking about the kickoff and the two defensive plays and possible staff changes and a question about the style of offense and the running and being two-dimensional. And actually, Sean McDermott said something that I'm sure you were very, very happy to hear yesterday.
Ooh.
Because you brought it up on the show.
Oh, okay.
And he basically nailed your point.
Oh, uh-oh.
So I think you'll be, I would assume you were thrilled to actually hear that. 803-05, how's that for a tease, huh? Jeremy's going to listen to the next segment now. 803-0550 to join us. Phone lines are wide open. If you're on hold, hang on. If you want to call us up, great. Come on in, and we'll talk to everybody this morning on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
and I'm not going to get into the specifics and the details on that. Again, I appreciate and respect where you're coming from. I hope you can appreciate and respect where I'm coming from. I'm not going to get into the weeds on that. I'm just going to leave it at the execution piece.
One of the many times, if you had an over-under on execute or execution yesterday, I bet you wouldn't have hit the right number. It was a lot. It was mentioned a lot of times yesterday in the Zoom call. Let's get some phone calls. 803-0550 to join us as we get connected with our fans. And we'll start with Sean in Buffalo. Sean, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Okay. I've been going back and forth why they made those decisions on the kickoff and those last two defensive plays. And I was blaming it on McDermott and the coaching staff. But I think that they did make exactly the right calls, and it was an execution problem. I think McDermott was thinking the very last play of regulation, he did not want it in Mahomes' hands. He wanted to rely on the kicker for the Chiefs to make it. He missed an extra point. He missed a field goal. I think he wanted them to gain some yards. I think where they executed wrong is when Kelce caught that second catch, they didn't tackle him at right when he caught it. He gained, what, 3 or 4 more yards. I think he did it intentionally because he wanted the Chiefs to kick a field goal at the end. He did not want Mahomes to have the last play. The Chiefs are too good of a team. They remember Arizona from last year. They did not want another Kyler Murray. You know, they have Hill making big plays.
There's no way.
They wanted the last play.
I'm sorry. There's no way.
I
there's absolutely no way. There's absolutely no way that the Bills think a Hail Mary is worse than one of the better kickers in the league kicking.
He missed 2 field goals.
He's
doesn't
very
matter.
Good. Harrison. Butker is.
Harrison
I have to
Butker.
Pull it. Thank you. It is Harrison. Sean, he's very good from distance. 50 plus. I mean, whatever. Even if you tackle Kelce, 3. It's what was it, 48? This kid can hit a 51, 52 yard field goal. I'm with Jeremy. I think you'd absolutely would much rather have a Hail Mary to the end zone with everybody back there to try and knock it down than a strong, accurate, long-distance kicker kicking that field goal.
Yeah, there's no way. They sure they wanted the passes to be completed, and they were willing to trade 10 yards for 6 seconds if that's what it took.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you back off, is you're willing to allow a couple of catches. But the plan is, and the idea is at least, you know, they're not going to get over the top of us. We'll allow 2 catches that take 6 seconds, and then they'll be still out of field goal range with 1 second left.
Yeah, I'm sure, Sean, thank you for the call. I still don't like the coverages. If that was what they were planning to do, the way they lined up, and I think that's a flaw in the coverage, not the execution. And I mean, because what was it, 44 yards they gave up. In 2 plays. 44 yards. I mean, I don't know.
They would have signed up for 25 all day.
Right. I mean, you just one of those plays you give up, right? Either you give up 19 or you give up 25. But you can't do it on back-to-back plays. And I think the coverage you were in allowed Kansas City to hit those 2 plays. Again, they had full timeouts too. It's not like they only had 1 timeout left and they had to try and save it for the kick. They had the whole field at their disposal. They could make any throw they want. Because they could stop the clock both times. So I think they screwed up. I think the Bills screwed up defensively.
And if, in fact, what your theory is true, then they should all be fired.
Oh, that, yes.
I mean,
you can't
there's
say.
There's no defending.
No.
I'd rather have Butker, Harrison Butker hit from 48 than Patrick Mahomes throw a Hail Mary.
Right.
I mean, like, there's absolutely no defending that. So, I mean, I can't say I know for a fact that you're wrong. I just know if you're right, they should all be fired. And I don't think they're all going to get fired.
All right, 803-0550 to join us. Mike in Hamburg, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I'm calling to reverse. I called the other day and said everyone should just relax and be happy and enjoy the ride. I was 21 during the Super Bowl years, and my kids are now 20 and 21, and seeing the devastation in their faces that there's no Sunday game and there's no nothing till September is I've reversed my decision and I understand everybody's sadness and to listen to you guys over the last couple of days is tough to hear people call in and to hear your guys' takes and opinions. It sucks. That's really all.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no problem, man. Hang in there, Mike. I'm getting a little better as the week goes on. I don't know if it's stages of grief, whatever. I'm beginning to wake up and emerge from the darkness, but it's temporary. For sure, Sunday's going to be a miserable day. I'm always look forward to watching the playoffs, right? Even when the Bills aren't in, but I mean, Sunday's going to really stink because I'm going to wake up first thing in the morning Sunday, whenever that is. And I'm pretty sure one of the first thoughts, if not the very first one, is the Bills should be playing today. And you might wake up, sir, thinking, why am I not in the camper lot, you know, tailgating and all. Yeah, I think Sunday the pain will come back. It's going to go away as the week goes on for me. And then Sunday will just be lousy. And it's going to just come back in full force, probably, if I had to guess. Let's see. We're going to Blaine next. Blaine in Buffalo. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. It's Dwayne.
Oh, Dwayne. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes, Dwayne.
All right. I'm getting better, but for me, I don't have a problem with the kickoff. That's fine. But if I was the defensive coordinator, in my opinion, it would have been, we're not going to let Hill or Kelsey, that's press coverage and double or triple team them two and allow the others. I feel better with taking our chances with the other receivers that Kansas City has, and Hill, Kelsey is not going to be, no, not under those circumstances. And I would have double press coverage, knocked somebody off the line of scrimmage. Somebody had to play a little closer. That's the only problem that I have. Other than that, I thought the Bills did great. You know, doing, you know, offensively that game, defensively, I would have just, everybody else could have beat me, but not them two. I would have had to devise something that always put two people on Kelsey, two people on Hill, and that's my only point.
I don't think they were going to do that because there are other weapons. I mean, it doesn't matter who beats you if you get beat. I understand you figure you would focus on Hill and Kelsey, but... Okay.
Byron Pringle caught a touchdown.
Right.
It was really
Hardman.
Important.
What about Mecole Hardman? I think, and this goes to McDermott talking about how unique the team speed is for Kansas City. If you put four guys on those two players, four, you're dropping seven. You got three guys left to cover everybody else who they send in a route. I think there's no way they were going to do that.
Is this the part where you say, I'm going to like that he said that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He, I think, knows they need to be faster.
Not just on defense, though, Jeremy. I mean, because
no, on offense.
It's what he said about speed on offense, right? Match their speed on both sides of the ball, and I think that's right up your alley.
He knows they need to be faster.
Yes,
which is true. I think they need to be faster.
And again, that's why I think that those two plays. Right, I understand what you're saying. Those are their two best guys, and they ate the Bills up, and they eat up a lot of teams. The Bills are not the only ones on the list. But if you put so much effort. One other guy, Pringle, beat somebody who says he doesn't get like 30 yards downfield.
Well, one, again, like I don't think that the Bengals are going to beat Kansas City because Joe Burrow, while good, is not Josh Allen. And the Bengals line is rough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Those guys but against those, Ingram and Jones and Clark and everybody? Ugh.
But if there's a team that has weapons on the level of Kansas City, it might be Cincinnati. I mean, Jamar Chase.
But are they going to do to
Tyler
Chase
Boyd,
what they did to Diggs?
T. Higgins.
I
don't know. I don't know if they'll do what they did to Diggs. Will they throw it to him anyway? Will they scheme it better?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing that if there's – I mean, I would say it's one criticism of this offense because this offense has been good the entire time that Diggs is on it. But they don't exactly, no matter what, go to him. And with Chase, they do that. I don't think there's any chance the Chiefs could cover Chase, and it might be because Chase is better than Diggs. You might be willing to go that far. I mean, he's a rookie, but he's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance that Chase gets, what, like four targets and 7 yards?
Yeah.
There's no way, no matter what they do to him. And if they do, then maybe, you know, T. Higgins has the Gabriel Davis game. They've got the horses at receiver that overall as a group, it's probably better than the Bills. A little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of it.
No, I think so. They're top three versus the Bills' top three.
Yeah.
I would give the edge to Cincinnati. They've got a good tight end, too, you know?
Yep.
So I would give them
and
the edge.
Good running back.
Yeah.
And a good quarterback. They're missing help on the offensive line, and Burrow might be in some real trouble on the road at Arrowhead. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that he said, you know, the speed. And they've had that for a while, and he said as we continue to build here, right, you know, they've got a lot of pieces in place, and they got to find some other catalyst on offense. You know, and maybe this gets to the point about balance, that somebody else to be dynamic other than Josh Allen. You know, he's their most dynamic player, and who's second? Diggs?
Yeah, it would have to be. There's nobody else who could compete for the second best spot.
Just for being dynamic. I mean, Gabriel Davis had a great game, but I mean, ball in hands can make things happen. It's Allen and Diggs and
then the rest of the cast.
Yeah. I mean, Singletary's makes guys miss and had a really, really strong season.
But you're talking dynamic, right?
We're talking McKenzie, yeah. Speed of McKenzie. Yeah, I think they'll want to add that way for sure.
If you're on hold, hang on. We got more of your calls on the way in a moment. 803-0550 WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Josh and I communicate on a lot of things. We spoke yesterday about some of what you're discussing here. He will be in the loop and he will be communicated with, and certainly value Josh's opinion on things. And it's important that he's comfortable as well. So no decision will be made without Josh being looped in.
Sean McDermott and talking about the if Dable leaves and you have to have a new offensive coordinator, would you be talking to Josh about that? And
no.
In fact, McDermott also said, he had already had a conversation with Josh about that a little bit. So
anyway. It's not cutting Jake Kumerow, but there's a great example of, hey, you clue in your starting quarterback and you talk to him about what he wants.
Yeah, Rodgers
like
and Green
Aaron
Bay.
Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay, like, yeah. You know. If you're going to cut a receiver, you're going to move on. Just, hey,
yeah.
What's your feel on this?
Yeah, he didn't say Allen would have the final say. He said he'll be looped in on everything. So you just keep him. And they did that this last offseason too, right? With John Brown,
I think.
Whenever they made the move on Brown, and I'm assuming, I don't know if they ran Sanders by him, but I remember him saying that they kind of gave him a little heads up. Hey, this is what's going on with John Brown. Let's get some more calls in. We'll get connected with our fans. Sal coming up at the top of the hour. Butch in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks so much for taking my call. You know, I'm going to say this. Watching this organization grow, like you guys know, watching this organization grow to where we are right now, every year it seems like, you know, someone or some segment of our organization grows. Last year, we played an AFC championship game, and, you know, Josh Allen became Josh Allen. Now Josh Allen is a household name now. This year, with the situation in 13 seconds, you just play defense, man. I mean, you just send somebody after and play defense. But you know what? That's here nor there. I really believe that Sean McDermott grew after this game. This is going to be on his record for the rest of his career. I think he'll be a better coach. I think he'll be a more type of head coach now where, like Marv Levy used to be back in the days when we get on the goal line, he takes over everything. I think Sean McDermott is going to be like that moving forward. Instead of trusting his staff like he likes to do, I think in certain situations he's just going to start taking it over like other head coaches do in the NFL. So it's going to be a growing process with Sean McDermott, and this is his year and this is his staff's year to grow.
He could have done that Sunday. Why? You know, unless you're basically saying he's going to now do the play calling. But if there was something he didn't like in those final 13 seconds as a call, he can change it. He's the head coach.
He could have did that, Howard, like you said. But I really believe sometimes he doesn't step on Leslie's toes. Sometimes he'll take over the play call, and sometimes Leslie will do it. Just like he says, Just like when he said, this is Leslie's defense, when the credit and the accolades was
I know, wrong. And just, it's Sean McDermott's Sean team. Sean McDermott's team. If you're playing for a shot in the AFC Championship game at home and you don't like the call, you don't worry about stepping on somebody's toes.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
I'm just saying, I don't know that there's a growth thing needed here for McDermott. He could have done that if he so desired.
Well, I bet you next year, this time next year.
Well, it doesn't help now.
You won't have that problem with who's in charge of making those calls because you won't get embarrassed like that again.
All right, appreciate it, Butch. Thank you.
One thing I wonder, you know, maybe Leslie Frazier gets another job, maybe not. Some have suggested if Frazier does leave, who does he bring in? Does he just promote from within? Do you bring in, ready for it?
Vic Fangio.
Do you bring in Vic Fangio? Serious.
No, I'm not. He's a very good defensive coordinator. I'm just laughing because of the Vic Fangio game.
No, he really is. The other thing is.
And he would have, obviously, he's very familiar with Kansas City.
Right, yeah. The other thing is.
If you care about that.
You know, we're focused so much on the final 2 minutes of the game. It was an incredible game. A lot of things happened. We've talked about Harrison Butker. What a caller pointed out. He missed a field goal and an extra point.
Yeah.
What if he doesn't miss those? Are the Bills cooked? And like not going to win, not going to be in it anyway. I mean, the Chiefs tied at the end of regulation. They had a field goal. Would the touchdown to Davis with 13 seconds left have been a score to tie it? You know, like the Bills did not play a perfect game that they gave away in the final 13 seconds. Like a lot of football games, both teams made a lot of mistakes, defensively especially. You know, the Chiefs gave up two touchdown drives in the final 2 minutes. Like that's tough, but. I guess I think, you know, your goal was getting past Kansas City, and now I think you know you are a 50-50 with them. It's even. These two teams are even. And that, I mean, it's what overtime really is they force a winner. So as you approach next year, I don't know what the mantra will be about getting by the Chiefs. It'll be about winning the Super Bowl and beating everybody, of course. But that team's going to stand in your way, and – you know, I mean, it's pro sports. You're not going to just say, like, all right, well, next time the coin toss, not the literal coin toss, but, you know, the proverbial coin toss will go our way. We'll get a few more breaks. We'll beat them. Just keep, you know, having Josh be Josh. They're going to look for more answers on defense for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a drastic change to their defense, but, you know, what's the big move this offseason? What's the signature move this offseason? Last year's signature was everybody's back. And this year's signature will probably be different. You know, I don't quite see it. I don't quite know what it will be. But they were a little bit, let's just say this, a little bit fortunate to be in the game late after Kansas City let 4 points on the board on kicks that he doesn't normally miss.
Yeah, I wonder, I'm trying to remember where the fourth down at the 34, where it came in the sequence of the half and whether... If things had fallen, I don't know. I can't put it all together sequentially. The missed extra point, the missed field goal. Well, the missed field goal was right before the half. And then does that affect maybe some of McDermott's decision making in the second half? Quickly, because Sal's coming up. Where would they go? I was thinking about, I just keep thinking about, you know, last offseason, they tried to get J.J. Watt. When Von Miller was available, they inquired with him. Kansas City went out and got Melvin Ingram, and it really helped their defense. Is that guy out there? The veteran edge guy that makes it that really comes in and makes an impact.
You want your name? Nate Geary was tweeting about him yesterday. It's Daniel Hunter.
Oh, from Minnesota. Yeah. I saw Nate's tweets on that. Yeah. That's, I think, a cornerback who's got some speed and that wherever the edge guy is, not drafting that guy, trying to find a free agent, a trade, whatever, that guy that they tried to pursue last season, they're going to look for again, I think, in this offseason.
Yeah. Daniel Hunter, Minnesota most recently.
Yeah.
You're looking for other UFAs. I mean, Von Miller's a UFA.
No.
If you want it.
I'd like to go a little younger, but okay.
Sure, I mean, but, you know,
Hunter's
maybe
younger, yeah.
Maybe Von Miller, maybe he wins Super Bowl this year with the Rams and he's not chasing a championship. But there could be a very, very well could be a J.J. Watt scenario where you have another player that's looking to go to a contender.
Right.
And the Bills, even though they were in the AFC Championship game last year, I think you might even think you're more of a contender now.
Yeah.
Some UFAs. Here you go. You got Jason Pierre-Paul, Dante Fowler, Calais Campbell, Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, Akeem Hicks. You know, there's some names out there. I'm scrolling down.
So maybe it's more of a trade. Von Miller was a trade. You know, maybe it's more of someone you can acquire.
Yeah. Everson Griffin, he's 34.
Older.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get a break. If you're on hold, hang on, because we're going to take more calls with Sal. He is on the way next on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.